stop them at the last side with going about the visas, cabling. Would you take on from there, please?
I should go back and say that James Rosenberg and the Intergovernmental Committee played a big role with Trujillo in working this arrangement out. I don't want to take sole credit for it because I was just the vehicle to get the visas every day.
That's your typical modesty, but go ahead.
Well, it's true. We got thousands of visas. I don't know what happened to the ones that received them. When they got out of occupied France, they scattered. Mm-hmm. But they had a visa to get out, which was important.
Out of Germany.
Out of occupied France. When their names would come up to be sent back from the concentration camp to Germany, the JDC workers would get those names and cable us so that we could get visas for them. And then that would get them out. So that Trujillo saved thousands of lives. And there was never a centigraph paid where other Latin American countries were selling visas at fantastic prices.
Did many take advantage of going to Sousa?
Oh, a few hundred arrived.
Sosua.
A few hundred arrived. And they were selected by the JDC mm-hmm. in Europe. Mm-hmm. First young people came. And we had a lot of difficulty with the young people getting them settled down. And Dr. Rosen, who by that time had recovered from his stroke, said, let's bring their parents over. So we brought the parents over. And the parents immediately gave the kids hell. They said, you didn't have running water in Europe. You have running water here now. You have showers. You have your own homes. What are you kicking about? And it had a very beneficial effect, bringing the parents over. We set up cooperatives in farming at Sosua, and the group they would form their own groups, and then we'd arrange to build a series of homes. Each had their own home on a piece of land, and then it was up to them to farm it. We brought in cattle, and they went into dairying, and Sosua, after a few years, was supplying the capital with cheese and eggs and butter. They developed quite a good market and is still doing it.
I was just going to ask.
Still doing it.
With the descendants of
the
original.
With the descendants, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever go down there? Have you been back there to observe?
Yeah, I was there a couple of years ago.
Oh, that must have been great for you. Now, you had that, then, and so you were anti-Zionist. I think I could use the word anti rather than non-Zionist. When did you become interested, then, in the established...
Wait a minute, if you want one more thing here.
Oh, I'm delighted.
Rabbi Stephen Wise, opposed the whole Dominican idea. And Mr. Rosenberg and I... felt very strongly that he was unjustified in his opposition, that any lives that were saved were worth saving. And since in those days Palestine wasn't open, this was better than nothing. He was afraid that we would raise too much money and take it away from the Zionist cause. We had open discussions in the paper on it. When the war was over, and once Israel was an independent country, there wasn't any more arguments.
When did you become interested in Palestine as a possible homeland for
Jews? Well, I would say at the end of the war.
At the end of the war.
Yeah. Well, I forget what date, but I ran a drive here for United Jewish Appeal. We raised a vast sum of $2.5 million, which in those days was a lot of money.
That's when when you were president and chairman that I became involved in this. But you also...
Doesn't sound like anything today.
No, today. But it was an enormous amount of money at that time. Because, and weren't you also involved with the Haganah and helping the Haganah? Weren't you involved with the Sonneborn
pledge? Rudy Sonneborn. No, during the war, I was in Washington. I was out of everything. I was in charge of domestic fats and oils and in charge of foreign foods. I had to do the buying all over the world in foreign foods.
Were you a dollar a year man?
I wanted to be, but I wasn't. No, I was on a big salary. And then it cost me more than the salary, but I got charged income tax. I was with the War Food Administration and the Department of Agriculture.
How did you happen to be in that particular department?
Well, I was a farmer. I was always farming, and I guess the Dominican experience added something to it. And they were grabbing for people, and I had enough knowledge, so I went down there.
I want to later ask you about how you got into farming, but let's keep on now with your leadership roles in the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies and in the community. When you said that there was this conflict, if I can use the word, between those of interested in local needs and those interested in overseas needs. Was that ever resolved, or did that keep
continuing? It resolved itself with the State of Israel and the war. But if I could use names, people like Al Oppenheimer and the Lehmans and Charlie Dreyfus, all those people were absolutely anti-Zionist. And those of I don't want to say it, but those of Russian background were very pro.
Have you visited in Israel?
Mm-hmm.
And what's your
reaction? I've been there twice.
And what's your feeling about that?
No argument.
They become an excited country.
That's right. Listen, the Jews are entitled to some place on the earth where you can go freely. I just hope that what I think is going to happen doesn't happen. I think Russia is doing all it can to upset it. I don't trust the Russians one inch. I don't think that means a thing. I think that Senator Jackson's absolutely right.
Then, what else did you do in the Jewish community in terms of influencing attitudes? I recall being at a meeting when we were both on the budget committee, relating to parochial school attitudes. How do you feel about it then, and how do you feel about it now?
I guess I'm an integrationist, and I didn't believe in parochial schools, whether they were Catholic or Jewish. But if the United States was to be a melting pot, the public schools was the place to do it. And I felt that the kids that were put in the parochial schools were put in a ghetto of their own making. I still feel that way.
I think you have company on that score.
On the other hand, I can tell you the only Jews that are going to survive are the ones that have the fence built around them.
What kind of offense?
The sense of isolationism, ghettoism. Because the others are all intermarried. That's what's happened in my family. And they've gradually, unless someone like Hitler comes along and goes back three generations, they're absorbed.
Well, do you think that's good or bad?
I don't know. If you just like being a Jew, it's good. If you like being a Jew, it'll eventually eliminate a great many of the Jews. And this history's found that mm-hmm. happened over and over mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm a Jew, and I'm proud of it. But I can see millions or lots of Jews that aren't, that want to mm-hmm. become part of the majority.
And it's the question of whether they find happiness or acceptance there.
That's right. They don't, but they count on their kids.
Mm-hmm. Then I believe you also played a role.
And that there's European Jews that never knew they were Jews till Hitler came along.
That's true. It's a tragic thing that we have to have disaster to make us, but we've managed to survive, and hopefully we will again.
But I think the parochial school maybe, and the Orthodox Jews are the only way it'll happen. I don't think Reform Judaism will perpetuate Judaism, quite frankly. It's very comfortable for us. But
then you had, you played a very important role in the formation, the merger of the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies and the United Jewish Fund into the United Jewish Federation. At that time, Dr. Taylor, I believe, was the executive director. I wonder if you could do some things.
Well, the spark plug there was Louis Kaplan. Mm-hmm. And all of us that were close to Louis worked with him. Because at that point, there wasn't any more argument between Zionism pro and con.
Why did he feel that it should be?
Well, we didn't want the community split. That merged the community. There wasn't any place anybody could go then.
Well, what was the split? I mean, was it an ideological split, or was it a split between those who were the social planners and the fundraisers?
Split, those that didn't want their money to go to Israel and those that did. I forget the name of that group. Don't you remember there was a group formed very much to the right that the Oppenheimers were active in?
Oh, that was the American Council for Judaism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was an ideological split right. away from Zionism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we felt that at that point the Jewish community could only survive if you pulled them all together. They had no argument. They had no other place to go. And we got the Zionist leaders saw the advantage there that many of the wealthy Jews who had been anti-Zionist had no other place to go either.
Mm-hmm. You worked very closely with Dr. Taylor, Dr. Maurice Taylor. What's some of
your... We were never buddies.
I was going to ask you, what was your feeling about him?
I thought he was inadequate. Although he had a great many skills. Too long ago.
Too long ago.
He was a little man, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he was hard to work with. My memory's getting so bad. There was his successor was a great guy. What was his name? He went to Baltimore.
I see a tall, handsome.
Yeah.
A tall, handsome person. The name slips me.
Well,
it'll come up.
He knew how to bring the Jewish community and the Christian community together, and at the same time, he was a skilled social worker. Dr. Taylor was an old-fashioned social worker. That's about all you could say. guy we have now isn't any better.
Sirotker.
Off the record.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the Jewish community today in terms of its efforts, its attitudes and tendencies?
I'm too out of touch. I couldn't answer you.
And
I don't know the new group of leadership well enough. I know them, yes, but I don't know them that well.
And into what endeavors are your interests being placed now?
In the last 7 or 8 years, I've just pulled out of everything. And I don't go to the meetings. Louis Kaplan gives me hell, but I'd serve my time, you know what I mean? I'm pulling out of everything.
But there are things where you have been involved, perhaps in the background, that I think have been very meaningful, and that is the ballet, Mrs. Falk's interest in the ballet.
Well, in the Jewish community, I've been involved through the old Morris and Laura Falk Foundation and breaking down the barriers in the executive suite.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, the Blue Cane Club opened its doors. We just gave Johnny Myers, you know, an award from the American Jewish Committee mm-hmm. for his leadership there. No, my principal interest has been in the health center. And my wife's in the ballet. And I help her. And I want to see Pittsburgh have a great health center. I had something to do with one of your coming into the health center. We have a problem now in keeping it there. The Jewish doctors have always been suspicious of the university and the medical school and not giving them the kind of opportunity they want. Although Presbyterian University has any number of Jews who are heads of departments, and at the same thing in the school of medicine. But some of these Jewish doctors are so suspicious, they can't even see it. Now, this is off the record,
yes.
But mm-hmm. right now, the Vice Chancellor...
Mm-hmm. You want me to turn this
up? Right?
In terms of the development of the Montefiore, becoming part of the health center, and its teaching hospital aspects, I wonder if you could give some insight into what went on and what is going on there.
Well, the Montefiore has got a very able lay leadership that aspires to make Montefiore a top hospital. At the medical school, there were certain chiefs who wanted to use Montefiore as a teaching hospital. The number one man was Dr. Myers, who used it for the teaching of medicine. And gradually, other departments became involved with the medical school without the whole hospital being involved. Then the time came when it seemed advantageous for the health center and Montefiore to become a full member of the health center, and they were voted in. Since then, there have been some problems that have developed because Montefiore and Presbyterian, in a way, are competitive, both in general hospitals. But I'm satisfied that time will work this thing out very well, and that while the separation, the independence of the two hospitals will be maintained, still a certain amount of their independence will be surrendered to the health center itself, in which Montefiore will play its proper role. That's about the way we're moving.
Well, I mentioned to you a few moments ago off the record, now on our own personal involvement with the hospital as a teaching hospital, and I think that the community owes thanks to you and those of you who showed that kind of discriminating leadership leading to the hospital becoming so.
My own role was as a trustee of the University of Pittsburgh, and I was chairman of the trustees committee of the schools of the health profession, and I also represented the university on the health center board along with Dr. Posler. At the present time, I'm vice chairman of the board, and we try to pull these hospitals together. We've had a number of studies made at the health center in which I played a part, and I'm now chairman of the ambulatory care committee. I guess I inherited that from the Fall Clinic, but I'm trying to guide the way of how this health center can be integrated and how we can bring the delivery of health care much less expensively to the public. I think that's one of our missions that we have to do. And we're now talking about a whole new concept of a health center. We're very lucky that Nathan Stark was willing to come here. And I think he's going to do the big job of pulling it together.
There's another thing I think that should be preserved for posterity, and the very important role you played in the broader community with the old Federation of Social Philanthropies, as it was. I believe that's what it was called under Isabel Kennedy. And the battle that went on in the community at that time, you were a member, I believe, of the Committee of 13. I believe that's what it was called. Can you tell us something about that?
Okay. Well, I've always felt that I like to stay personally as much in the background as I can, and to get people working together and to forge a program which is bigger than any of us, so that we can all gradually move forward. As far as the health center goes, the key is going to be ambulatory care. And we're gradually getting people to develop their ideas as to what the ideal program would be and submerge themselves to the ideal. And I think that's one of the roles I have to play in it. What you want?
No. Yes, and then insofar as your role, if any, in that merger and the change of the concept of the Federation of Social Philanthropies under Isabel Kennedy and the Health and Welfare Association when Trotman was brought here, did you play any role in that?
No significant role there at all. That whole social service program was an offshoot of the depressions of the 30s and the bringing of more adequate care to the I don't know how to put it, the lower echelon.
Yeah, it's the only way you can.
That's
the lower
right.
Economic
and
level.
Bring humanitarian relief to them. And there were different things that were being discussed, but basically it was to get the contributors conscious of the problem. I think Isabel Kennedy and Dr. Taylor both did a good job there. They worked together on it. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any conflict.
Mm-hmm. But they felt that there was a... did they feel that there was a new approach to social planning?
Yes.
I mean, other groups.
That was in the leadership. Mm. They were in the leadership of a new humanitarian approach, mm-hmm. and not just giving apples out in the corner.
Mm-hmm. That was in the 30s, and did that continue on in the 50s then?
That's continued ever since.
Mm-hmm.
The development of the proper delivery of aid, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that. Now maybe it's been a little overdone.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that?
Well, I don't like the way governmental relief is handled. I think you read in the paper constantly of where it's being abused and where people don't want to work anymore because they can live on relief. And I'm afraid it might end up where the politicians think they can buy votes with relief.
Leon, in the various things that we've talked about, do you feel that there is any other phase of your life that was very important to you that we should know about? Oh, I'm thinking of one. You mentioned farming before as... how did you happen to become interested in farming? It's a major interest of yours, or it was.
That's my love.
Oh.
If I'd had my own way, I'd have been a farmer. But being the only boy in the family, I wasn't allowed to indulge it. But my father, when I was first married, gave us a farm as a wedding present in the area that he grew up. He was born in Greensburg, and farm is between Greensburg and Bedford. And we've developed there one of the first a top dairy farm and then a top beef operation. And it's a business, it's not a hobby. It makes money.
How much are you personally involved in it other than in the financial end of it?
Oh,
do you do any actual dirt farming?
It isn't. There is no such thing as dirt farming.
No, I know, but I'm talking about...
But I do the planning with the manager, the breeding program, the purchase of cattle, the sales. The manager and I are partners in the operation of the farm. I'm there a couple of days a week. That's where I was Monday and Tuesday.
Is that where you hope to eventually retire to?
Well...
Full-time?
Yeah. I'm going to spend more and more time there.
That's
but we have one of the great herds today at Bull Herford. Mm.
Did you have any?
This was our national champion.
Oh, oh, isn't that beautiful? I am looking at a piece of sculpture of a Hereford, is that it?
Whole Hereford.
A whole Hereford.
Whole. That, yeah, and then he horned.
Oh, that was given to Mr. Falk January 1973 at the Golden Anniversary, and he was the national champion.
Okay.
That's something to be very proud of. It's on Mr. Falk's desk. On this. Leon, is there anything else
Look,
that you... Oh, my. All of these trophies?
All 1 year.
For heaven's sake. I recognize your wife. Who are the others on the
That's
picture?
The manager and his wife.
And the manager and his wife.
He's a Penn State boy.
There are large silver trays, silver loving cups, plaques, and a variety, and by the way, it's a beautiful picture of you and Lotta.
Yeah.
Just a beautiful picture of the two of you.
See the banners back there?
There?
The whole wall.
Oh.
Full. We had a big year. This year ought to be pretty good.
Are the children or grandchildren interested in the farm?
No.
No, none of them.
They like to come up there and ride horseback. There's Susan.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you feel that we should include on
no,
in this?
No, I think the, one of the important things in my life is the health center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I really did my share in keeping the advancement of the health center on the track.
Okay.
And my association with Allen's Cave was enabled me to, he opened the door and enabled me to operate back at the scene.
Well, Leon, I can't tell
That's
you...
That's the way I've always operated. I'm much more effective that way.
Well, as I think I told you the very first time we started these interviews, that I always, that I felt that you really underestimated your own contribution and your modesty. Maybe if we had more modest people like you, maybe we wouldn't be in such a conflict.
Well, you can do things if you're really not looking for anything for yourself. You let it take care of itself.
It's, where you're not projecting your own personal needs.
Your own ego gets satisfied by the accomplishments you make, and not by a lot of dinners awarding. My cows can do that.
Leon, I think that's a beautiful note on which to conclude these interviews. For me, it's been a great personal privilege, and I deeply appreciate it.
I want to thank you for taking the time to come up here and talk with me, and I've also enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.